Airplane mode, Bez Hashem. We're going to begin shir number Yud Aleph, shir number 11. And I hope that
you
will be able to get through shir. We'll get through the Ran. We'll get through a lot of the Nyanim over here. Before we begin, obviously, you know, it's probably one of the most difficult and terrible things that's happened in recent history of Klal Yisrael that happened Lag BaOmer, Hiron. And the truth is that to talk about it, it's very difficult to talk about it, especially people who were there and even people who weren't there. But it's a lot of tragedy. It's a lot of hardship for a person to go through. We could have been there. There was a lot of, I mean, there was somebody pushing me very much. It's like, whatever, just go to Meiron. And I almost did, Lamaisa. And in the end, I decided I'm going to come to Yeshiva and I'm going to not go to Meiron. And unbelievable. And there's the fact that the Rosh Yeshiva made a big push that nobody should leave early and everybody should only leave after Night Seder. And the fact that my cousin was saved because of his tefillin. And there's so many unbelievable things that happen that it's, we have to understand. There's every story, every person has his own hashgacha. There's an incredible amount of nisim and incredible amount of hashgacha that was involved in what took place. But at the end of the day, besides for seeing the hashgacha pratis, there's two things that I think it's important for us to be ma'orer over here in what took place. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and when things happen in the world, so it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of communicating with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's talking to us. And if we're not going to listen, who's going to listen? You expect the irreligious people or the non-Jewish people, they're not listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's our responsibility, it's our mission to listen to the messages of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when something incredible like this happens, so it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is speaking loud and clear. So what exactly is Hashem saying? I don't know. But two Aris, which I think it makes sense to say based on what happened. Number one is that somebody asked for Avigdor Miller, how can I prevent myself from getting cancer? How can I be protected from getting cancer? Rachmana litzlan. To get an illness which a person could avoid, whatever it is. So be careful. Do what you can to stay healthy. But cancer, people all of a sudden wake up with it. They had no idea. They didn't know. It's not like contagious or anything. What could I do? Somebody asked Avigdor Miller. So Rabbi Avigdor Miller said, it's taka difficult. What are we supposed to do? There's nothing we could do. There's only one answer. The answer is, Chazal say in the Gemara, a person should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu regularly that he should not get sick. That's the answer. When a person gets sick, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is communicating directly with that person, the Gemara says. He gets sick, Hashem wants him to start thinking. Hashem wants him to start davening. A person should talk to Hashem before he gets sick. Start talking to Hashem before we get sick. And then maybe we won't even need it. So, number one is, a person is healthy. Every day in Shemona Esrei, at the end of Shemona Esrei, right before you take three steps back, say a short tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me health. Please, Hashem, continue to keep me healthy. Prevent me from getting sick and prevent me from getting into any accidents. These are things which people, they never thought that this would happen. And it's a similar type of a thing. We should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a regular basis. Hashem, protect me from getting sick and protect me from getting injured by accidents or whatever it is. That's number one. And number two, in the times of Sfiras HaOmer, there's a lot of halachas of Avelos, which are because of the fact that 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were nifter in these 33 days. 24,000 Talmidim in 33 days, like we heard, it's approximately 750 people a day. We don't even understand what that means. 750 people a day being nifter. These numbers are mind-boggling. Like the Nazis in Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom said, that in the beginning, you murder one person, two people, it's a tragedy, it's terrible. But you kill a million people, it's just a number. What, a million? We don't even understand what that means, a million people. 750 people a day for over 30 days straight. It's crazy. It's mind-boggling. The tragedy is unfathomable. It should hit us like a ton of bricks every year during the Tkufa of Sfira. That's what Avelus of Sfira is supposed to remind us of. And why did it happen? Because we're in the Tkufa now when we are trying to relive becoming the Am Segula, relive getting ourselves ready to be Hashem's chosen people, to live by the Torah. And that takes a level of responsibility. We're not meant to be just going through life. We're meant to be going through life trying to become better people, caring about each other. Binanam l'chaveo b'frat. It's something which is real and it's crucial. A incredible shock and tragedy like this, dafka during the time of Sfiras HaOmer. I don't know if this is the message that Hashem is communicating, but to me, I think that is certainly something that is reminiscent a little bit of what Klal Yisrael must have been feeling in the times of Rabbi Akiva. The wake up, the shake up. It's unbelievable. And the ikkar is that a person needs to not just continue as if nothing happened. Of course, a person can't let himself get traumatized and depressed and destroy his life. Can't let that happen either, obviously. But a little bit something. We should be affected in some way, some positive way. We should realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. I think maybe a little bit kedai to realize a little bit of Binanam Lamakom, a little bit of Chizik and Tefillah, a little bit Binanam Lachaveroi, a little bit of Chizik in how we appreciate each other, how we act towards each other. Bezus Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should be protected from other tragedies, and we should come to the Kabbalah Sotar Bez Hashem properly. Okay. Let's begin Bez Hashem. It should be a l'schus for all of the chaylim and ilan nishmas for all of the niftar. Okay, we'll begin with the Ran over here. We are mamish knee deep in the Ran. It's gevaldik, and when we're learning a sugya, we always have to go back and realize that there's a kasha, there's an issue that needs to be addressed, and we always have to go through and make sure we understand it properly, because that's going to give us the flow, that's going to give us the geshmak in the sugya. Okay, so let's go back. What are we coming to discuss? Rashi's pshat in the Mishnah. Why is there a din bedika? There's a din bedika because we don't want to be over in Balyura Balyimati, Rashi says. Taisvis comes in with a kasha. What's Taisvis kasha? Why did Chazal require everybody to do bedika when anyway you can do bittel, you have to do bittel, and thereby get rid of any achievement that you have for bedika. So doing bedika is pointless. It's already covered by the bittel. That's Tosfos kasha. Comes the Ran and says, and let's jump right into it. Comes the Ran and says, It's a one-word answer, but it's an incredible answer. You, Tosfos, are coming in with an assumption, and Rashi, that the din of Bedika is a din derabbanon. When Tosfos says, Shlo yavra alav bal yura bal yimatzei, it's a din derabbanon. Chazal instituted a takana. We want to make sure that you're not going to be over bal yura bal yimatzei. So do this, and then it will prevent you from being over. You'll ensure that you get all of the chametz out of your house. That is Taisva's perspective on Rashi. He comes around and says, that's not what Rashi meant. It's not what Rashi meant. What did Rashi mean? When he says, he meant, it's a din doraisa, which gets rid of Bali Rabbi Limatze. Bedika is not just a takana derabbanan to ensure you get all the chametz out of your house. It's a din doraisa. Now let's explain. The Ran tells us, where did this idea of din d'oraisa come from? How does it work? There's a concept in the Torah called tashbisu. It's a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa. Tashbisu sar mi batechem. What is tashbisu, Zok the Ran? There's two ways to fulfill tashbisu. Number one, the first one that the Ran talks about is bittul. Bittel. The Targum Onkelos explains that the word Tashbisu is Tevatlun. Bittel. That's number one. The idea of Tashbisu. And therefore, as Dr. Ran, you can do Bittel and you will not be over by your Rabban Yimotze. What do? You Mevatel Beliboy. It should be after the Arab. Mevatel Beliboy. No by your Rabban Yimotze. When is there an issue by your Rabban Yimotze? When it's yours. If you're Mevatel it, it's not yours, it's Hefker. No by your Rabban Yimotze. That's one way of Tashbisu. Why is that Tashbisu? Did you destroy it? No, you didn't destroy it. But you personally took it out of your rishus. As far as you're concerned, you got rid of it. There's two ways of getting rid of something. One way is physical destruction. One way is that it has no shaykhus to you. It's a yisod in avodas Hashem, right? A person could destroy his phone, right? Drop it in the fish tank. Or a person could reach a point where it's not shaykh to him b'chlal, even if he doesn't destroy it. It's not shaykh to him. Al-Kopanin. That's the two ideas of Tashbisu over here. First idea of Tashbisu is bittel. You mevatel it. It's not yours. No avera. Second way of Tashbisu is bidika and beer. Do bidika, do beer, search your house, get rid of all of chametz. Bidika and beer is another form of the kiyum doraisa Tashbisu. Okay. So now comes the Ran and says like this. Let's say I choose to do bittel. I choose bittel. Is that a valid option? So we just said, yeah, it works doraisa. But what about derabanan? Do I still need to do bidika? The Mishnah says botkin. Maybe it's, what's it called? Maybe it's referring to this idea of derabanan also. Zog the Ran, there's a din derabanan. I need to do bidika. What's this idea of bidika derabanan? What is that? Zog the Ran. Two explanations. Possibility number one is that maybe when I'm doing my bittel, my mind is thinking to myself, I don't really want to get rid of it. Right? I told you guys the story of the guy in a certain Jewish community who he got rid of all of his chametz before Pesach. How did he get rid of it? He came to the Rav and he sold his chametz. He has a very, very expensive collection of schnapps. He sold his chametz. On Pesach, there's a knock on his door. He says, hello, who's there? Some guy, whatever, John. And he says, how can I help you? He says, you have, are you Mr. Schmerl? Yes. Do you have some schnapps in your house? Yes, I do. Who are you? I'm the proud owner of that schnapps. What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm the proud owner of that schnapps. I would like to come take a drink. I bought it. He says, no, you mistake. What are you? He says, yeah, the rabbi, we bought it. It was the whole thing. It says your name right here, your address. It says you have schnapps and downstairs in the basement. He says, no, it's not real. It's like a whole thing that we do because of the holiday, but it's not, it's obviously not really yours, you know. So he's like, no, the rabbi said he sold it to me. Go away. It's not, the rabbi will tell you, it's not really. So he says, okay. He goes back to the rabbi. The next day in shul, right after davening, the rabbi comes over to Shmerel and he says, Shmerel, you have to pour all of your schnapps down the toilet. So he's like, what do you mean? So he says, well, we did a mechiras chametz and you told the guy that you're not really selling your chametz. It's just shtick for the holiday. So that means that your stuff is still in your rishus, and memela, it's a shaila by Rabbi Yimotze, and you're being over this doraisa with the schnapps in your house, right? Now, whether that actually works that way in mechira, where you actually did a mechira or not, I don't want to get into right now. But as far as bittel is concerned, that's what the Ryan says. Like, you're going to let a guy do bittel. Eh, come on, it's not real bittel. You've got really being mafkir all my stuff. Is that right? It was a guy who actually, last year with the whole corona thing, so Poskim were saying that if you buy new stuff for Pesach, so instead of going to the mikvah and being told the kalim, it's shiloh of germs, corona, nobody knew anything that was going on. They said you don't have to be told the stuff, just be mafkir all your appliances and it's fine. So one of the halachas is being mafkir, you have to be mafkir in the presence of three people. So one of the guys On the block was Mafkir in the presence of three people. He made a big announcement. He's being Mafkir his brand new microwave. One of the guys there went upstairs and took the guy's microwave. He's like, yo, what are you doing? You were just Mafkir it. What's the problem? No, come on. Yes. Is it real or is it not real? What's going on?
Actually, yet another.
This happened, yeah.
Such a jerk.
No, so the, so mean. He was doing it, but he came back to me. He was doing it for shtick. He's like, are you being real or not? Come on. Are we playing games or are we really being Mafkir? That's the point over here. Zog the Ran, if you're going to let people be Mevatel Lechametz, Ein Deo San Shavos, it's not so much. What's going to happen? Is it really going to be a savior of bit of Chametz? Are people going to be over or not? What? Memela Zog the Ran, that's why Bittul is not enough. Bittul's great, Midoraisa, but only if you do it the right way. Chazal came along and were Machmir and said, do Bedika? In addition to Bittul. Why? Because just in your mind by itself is not enough. It's not enough. Comes Avi with a beautiful Chakira. Gevaldige Chakira, Geshmaka Chakira. What's the pshat that doing the Bedika afterwards, by instituting that now we have to do the Bedika afterwards, so now it's okay. Now we solved the problem. What's the pshat? What's the lumdus? It's such a Geshmaka Chakira. Right? Is the pshat that, look, people are not going to do such a good job, but you'll do be baidik and then you'll throw it out. So forget about the bittul anyway, because they'll do bedika and they'll throw it out. Is that the pshat? That's what a chazal achieved by instituting a bedika after bittul? Is that the pshat? Or, zog tavi, maybe another tzad. Why is it that I'm only half-baked being mevatel my stuff, mafkir my stuff, because really, I don't want to lose it, right? But if anyway I'm going to have to be baidik and throw it out anyway, so then what do I gain by doing a halfway bittul? I may as well do a full bittul. Anyway, I'm not going to be keeping this stuff. So I'll do a full bittul. Chazal achieved that by instituting bedika, now the bittul ends up being a full-fledged bittul. Beautiful chakira. In the pshat of the Ran, it's really geshmak. Very nice ha'ara from Avi. Beautiful vart. Okay? Al kol panim, this is one teretz of the Ran of why I need to do bedika in addition to bittul, even though bittul is a kiyum of teshbisu. Now, Lamaisa Shlomo had another beautiful ha'ara on this vart. Such a gorgeous aura. Very practical, very lamaisa. Okay? A person is going through a hard time. He's having a struggle with whatever it is in his life. Whether it's Lashon Hara, whether it's an Aveira, whether it's, you know, Bittul Torah in the middle of Seder, whether it's coming on time, whatever it may be. And then he decides, that's it. I'm making up my mind. Not doing this anymore. Zuck Shlomo, what a gavaldiga insight. Look at the Ran. It's not good enough to just make up your mind. Ain't there's in Shavos. We have to be choishish. A person is going to be makel in making up his mind. It's not strong enough. You need to do something lamaisa, like bedika. You have to come up with something concrete and real, practical. Then, we'll be matzliach. It's such an incredible insight into Avodas Hashem. Mam is beautiful, like the Chazon Ish used to say. Got to learn the Misr in the Sugya. Al Kopanim, this is such a Geshmaka Vart. It's so relevant, Lamaisa, for all of us. To be Mevar the Chametz, like we learned from the Radvaz, it's the Yetzirah. Okay, Al Kopanim, this is a beautiful Pshat. Mam is straight out of the Ran, so Geshmak. You'll tell Shlomo, thank you. Okay, so this is point number one. Point number two, another chash that Chazal had with Bittul. Why is Bittul not suffice? Right? Why does Bittul not suffice? Because maybe if you may come to end up eating it, you'll be mevatel it. You have this delicious apple strudel. You have a cherry cheese Danish on your counter, right? You mevatel it, but it's staring you in the face. You'll just sneak a bite when Hashem is not looking. Don't worry. Right? No, Shemi Yavalachlo. Shemi Yavalachlo. Therefore, get rid of it. That's the second part of the rhyme. So therefore, it comes around and says, even if you do bittul, which works, midoraisa, gets rid of it's a kiyum of tashbisu, it gets rid of Avirah Balimante, you still need bedika and biur. So gishmak, so beautiful. So I have a good idea. So just do bedika. What about just doing bedika? Does just doing bedika work?
No.
Just doing bedika, zagdaran, of course, just doing bedika also works, lachoyra. Isn't that what Rashi says? Rashi in the Mishnah says, just do bedika. That's Rashi in the Mishnah. Just do bedika. It gets rid of Bali Rabbi Yamatze. Zagdaran. On a Doraisa level, it's 100% correct. And this is the answer to Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos said, you Rashi, why are you saying Bedika gets rid of Bali Rabbi Yamatze? That's why you do Bedika? You have to be Bevatel? And then there's no point of Bedika? Because you already achieved it with Bittel? Zokdaran? Rashi's talking about Doraisa. Before Bittel. Sorry. Rashi's talking about Doraisa before Bittel. There's no Bittel yet. You didn't do Bittel. You're doing Bedika, it gets rid of Bali Rabbi Limatse Midoraisa. It's a Kiyam Tashbisu, like we just explained. There's no Bali Rabbi Limatse anymore because you did Bittel. Because you did Bedika and Beer. So beautiful. The Gemara says, Abode Tzarkshi Yavatel Tosus. Very nice. That's talking about Midrabanon. Midrabanon, after you did Bedika, you still need to do Bittel. Rashi says, Baidek, Baitkin, is Shalai Labral, Abal Yerabal Yimatze. It gets rid of Abal Yerabal Yimatze.
This is the second.
And the Doraisa, this is the Teretz. The whole time I've been explaining and building up the Teretz. I'm going to explain more. We're not done yet. Don't worry, Shrek. Okay, let's explain more. Tosfos came in and he read Rashi like this. Listen to this unbelievable Hakira in Rashi. Tosfos read Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi says, why did you bite skin? You know why? Shalom Yavar Alav, Bali Rabbi Limotze. Tosfos looked at that Rashi and he read it one way. The Ram looked at that Rashi and he read it a different way. What are they arguing about? How do they differ in their understanding of this Rashi? I'm going to explain with Hakira. What's the Hakira? It goes like this. When Rashi says, do a bedika, search your house and get rid of the chametz in order not to be over by the Rabbi Matzeh, is that a din dirabonon? It's a takana dirabonon. Chazal came along and said, look all over your whole house, get everything out of your house and throw it out. And then memela, you'll avoid Bali Rabbi Limatze. Why? How will you avoid Bali Rabbi Limatze in that way? Because what's Bali Rabbi Limatze? Having chametz in your house. What did Chazal come in and do? They put up a geder, a takana, that you should look for everything, get it out of the house. Then I won't be over Bali Rabbi Limatze, right? Very clear, straightforward. That's one way to look at Rashi. Or, no, another way to look at Rashi. Rashi says, Baitkin Shalo Yavar Alav Bali Rabbi Limatze. Rashi means that this is the Doraisa activity you need to do. This is the Doraisa thing you need to do in order to not be over Bali Rabbi Limatze. Doraisa, there's a din Bali Rabbi Limatze. You're Baidek. You will not be over Bali Rabbi Limatze. It's not a takana durabana to prevent you from being over. It's the Doraisa activity to not be over. And that's what the Ran is saying, Pshat and Rashi. Rashi says, Botkin, Shlevalov, he means, this is the Doraisa Kiyum, this is the Doraisa Din, which avoids Bali Rabbi Limotze. Now we have two questions on this. You want to speak it out?
No, is it a fakir? Because Tosfos' way of looking at Rashi doesn't even make sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense? Because he argues on him? Because he has kashas on him?
Yep.
Okay, look, happens to be, Seder, maybe there's other answers to Tosfos' kashas. It happens to be, it's a machlokas amongst the mefarshim in Pshat and Rashi. Besides for Tosfos and the Ran, it's a machlokas even within the mefarshim who are miyashiv Rashi. It's a machlokas whether it's Doraisa or Darabanan. Like we already learned from the Cheshek Shloima. The Cheshek Shloima is learning that Rashi is saying a bar in Darabanan. The Ran is saying Rashi is saying Avodin Doraisa. It's a machlokas in the Mefarshim, even in those who are Miryashi Rashi. Okay? And there's a lot of other Mefarshim also who discuss this point and take sides on the two sides of the Chakira. So we have two Aras now in the Ran. We're working with the Ran because, first of all, I think the Ran is a more Pashup Shat in what Rashi said than the words of Rashi. And second of all, because it's the most accepted Mahalach amongst the Rishayim. Rabbeinu David and other Rishayim, and Ram Chalava and Duran, it's the most accepted pshat in explaining Rashi. So we're going to use this approach, try to understand it. What do they mean? How are they answering Rashi? So he said that it's Doraisa. This is a Kiyum Tashbisu Doraisa. And that's the avoid by the Rabbi Limatze. Mm-hmm. So now we have two questions. Let's get back. Two questions. Question number one is, if I do bittel, I understand I need to do bidika afterwards also, right? Makes sense. Like we discussed, two chashashos that Chazal had. But if I do bidika, l'chaira, I shouldn't have to do bittel afterwards, right? Why would I need to do bittel afterwards? Bittel is the weaker of the two options of tashbisu. Bidika is the better of the two options of tashbisu. Bidika fixes what was lacking in bittel. So why would I need to do bittel after bidika? How do I know I need to do bittel after bidika? It's a Gemara on the Vavam base. Habodek sarach shevatel. Right? In Tosfos' Havana, in Tosfos' world, this question is not a question. Why? Because in Tosfos' world, I do a bidika, I look for chametz, and guess what happens? I get rid of whatever I found. What about what I didn't find? What about what I didn't find? And then I end up finding it on Pesach, even if I didn't find it on Pesach. What? I was mevatel it. In Tosfos' world, by being mevatel it, I cover all my bases. Even the stuff I didn't find, I won't be over Bali Matze. But in Rashi's world, what's happening here? If I still need Bittel to get rid of Bali Rav Bali Matze, so essentially what I'm saying is that the Bidika didn't do anything. That doesn't make sense. The whole Chiddush of the Ran is that Bidika gets rid of Bali Rav Bali Matze. So why would I need Bittel also to get rid of Bali Rav Bali Matze? But at the same time, I know I need bittel, so what's happening? How does it work? How does it make any sense? What's pshat? This question the Ran asks on himself, and the Ran answers based on who? He quotes an answer from Rashi. Rashi and Vavam Beis gives the answer to this question. What does Rashi say? Rashi says that you might find good. I don't remember. Did I make a rough already? I don't know. You might find the Gluski Yafe. You might find the Gluski Yafe. And then what? May come to eat it? Bittel doesn't solve that problem. May come to eat it. So what's the issue?
At least that.
The issue is that you might hesitate to burn it, to destroy it when you find it. And then I'll be over Bali Rabbi Matze. When I hesitate, I'll be over Bali Rabbi Matze. Until I hesitate, I'm not over Bali Rabbi Matze. Even though it's in my possession. I have chametz, I have an Oreo, I have rugelach in my possession.
Still a bittel.
I'm not over Bali Rabbi Limatze, even without bittel. Just simply because I did a bedika. Even without bittel. I did a bedika, I'm not over, even though I have it in my possession.
If anything, Rashi's is better.
This is Rashi.
No, it's better than having a Dairaisa bidu.
Bedika.
Bedika and a
That, but that is what we're doing.
Right, as opposed to test, as
not opposed better. Oh, you're saying it's better to do that.
Regardless, you're going to find the cooking, and if you eat it, that's up to you.
Okay.
But if you do, but to have a Dairaisa Baidik, then you have a more Mahmer Bidika.
Okay, yeah, it's true. According to Rashi, it's true. You're right. According to Rashi, it's true. Very good. According to Rashi, it's true. The Bidika is a much more powerful Bidika. It's much more. There's much more reason to have the Bidika going to Rashi. Excuse me. Correct. But let's appreciate that there's a Bam Kasha here. what's happening in Rashi's world. It's unbelievable. Rashi explained to us, you know why you need Bittel after Bedika? Even though Lechayra makes no sense, Bittel is the weaker of the two. Bedika achieves what Bittel lacks. Why would I need Bittel after Bedika? Doesn't make any sense. Zag Rashi, you know why? Because after you found, if you might end up finding something over Pesach, you're going to hesitate to destroy it, and in those interim seconds, you'll be over Bali Rabbi Limate. So do Bittel, so you won't be over Bali Rabbi Limate in those interim seconds.
But you're still...
Is it, what in the world is Rashi talking about? What... I'm over Bali Rabbi Limate when I had it in my possession. I'm over Bali Rabbi Limate even before the interim seconds. How does this work? We'll hear your question in a second. How does this work? What is coming out of Rashi and the Ran is that when I am doing my Bedika, I am not over Bali Rabbi Limate even though I have a package of Raglach sitting under my seat. I did Bedika, I didn't find the Ragalach, I looked as good as I could, I didn't find the Ragalach, it was stuck somewhere. It's in my house, and I'm still not over Bali Rabbi Limate. Unbelievable. How? What happened? How does that work? That's the second kasha that we need to address. How in the world does that make sense? Yeah, Joseph, you have a question?
I don't know if Rebbe like said this just in different words, but before we were saying that even if you... that even if you bittel it, man's gonna be used to what's it called? Not, he's gonna be makel with it, and he's gonna end up being over by seeing it.
Okay.
He's not gonna fully nullify it in his heart. So how could we say that if somebody ends up finding it after doing bedika, it's not considered? He's not over by just because he was bittel it. Yeah.
So. That's a good question. You're saying, Lamaisa, if we're really choshesh, that the guy is not going to do a good bedika, a good bittel, I mean, so how does bittel after bedika help? Lamaisa, maybe it's not going to be a good bittel. Very good aura. Maybe in combination with the fact, like Avi said, in combination with the fact that I'm doing bedika and beer anyway, so then my bittel is going to be a full-fledged bittel. Right? That's where Avi's chakira comes out very strong. Very nice. Beautiful. Okay.
Things you know about.
What?
It's only things you know about.
No, that's exactly the point. That since I'm being boydik anyway and getting rid of everything anyway, I don't know the stuff that I'm being boydik about. I'm going to look now in my house and find everything. So my bittel is going to be a full-fledged bittel. Because I'm going and doing positive action of destroying. Okay. So this is very good point. Thank you, Joseph. Shkoyach Avi, beautiful Chakira, comes together very nicely. Let's get into here is the amkus of the vart of the Ran and Rashi, and this is something which has troubled Mefarshim for generations. The Ran says, you know how it works, this bam kasha that we just asked, it's a bam kasha. I do bedika, I end up with chametz in my house anyway somehow or another, I'm not over Bali Rabbi Limate. Why? How does that happen? Zok the Ran, unbelievable, listen to this. We'll read it together if you didn't see it yet. The Ran says, Shema Toimar. It's in mine, it's in the paragraph Ella, but in yours it could be it's different setup. Okay, it says, Shema Toimar. You have what's it called? You have this one? I'll try to find a few in this one also. Here, it's in paragraph of Mashma, three lines down, in paragraph of Mashma, in those water. Okay? He says, Shema Tomar, maybe he'll say, listen to this unbelievable statement. Limafreya of RLA. Limafreya of RLA. I'm over. I ended up finding chametz. You're right, I did bedika. I did my best. I tried as hard as I could to get rid of all of the chametz. I ended up finding chametz in my house. So, I'm over. It was an accident. It's not amazing. Good. I'm not going to get thrown off a cliff. Whatever. But bottom line is, maybe I get an Avera. Right? Okay, so Bali Rabbi Matzah is not Skila. I won't get Malchus, right? It's Shogig. But at the end of the day, it's an Avera. Zok Duran, Shema Toimar, maybe you'll say, Limafrey Avar Ale, that I do get an Avera for having this Chametz in my possession. Zok there, what does he say? Lesa. Nope. No Avera. Sheharei Samcha Torah Al HaChazakais. The Torah relies on Chazakais. Michal Shabadak Oysen Mekoymes Shiragi Limatze Bahen Chametz. As long as I check the areas where it can be assumed that Chametz was there, there's generally Chametz there. Yatze Yidei Chayvasai. You already fulfilled your obligation. You don't have to worry anymore. That's why the Tana doesn't mention Bittel after Bedika, because Bedika works by itself. I, Rav Yudah Marav, says Bodek Tzor Shevatel. That's a Chumrah Derabanan, a special Chiddush, which Batsem is not the topic of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about the Din D'Oraisa. What do you need to do based on Bali Rabbi Matze? The answer is Bedika. And at the end of the day, Bittel afterwards is a special din later, which is not really necessary on a Doraisa level. So what does the Ran answer? Why is it that there's no Aveira? If I found Chametz, what's the answer? Because the Torah, he says, is Somech on Chazakos. And as long as I did a Bedika in a place where it's supposed to be Chametz, Yatzidei Chavos, I fulfilled my obligation. Can everybody explain the Teretz of the Ran?
What's the chazaka?
Excellent question. Yeah?
You checked every normal place.
Checked every normal place, and therefore?
Therefore, we're not going to be chazakah to that. I don't know.
Did you
hear? Since you checked every single normal place, we assume we have a chazakah that it's all good.
The chazakah that it's good. You're saying the chazakah is that you did a bedika, so the chazakah is that everything is good based on your bedika. That's the chazakah.
The chazakah is that there's no chametz in your house.
The chazakah is that there's no chametz in your house. Okay.
As long as you fulfilled your chiyuv and did everything you need to do, then chazakah is that you don't have chametz.
The chazakah is that you don't have chametz. Why? Because I did what I needed to do. So the chazakah is what I did.
Why does it help if you find chametz?
Oh, but lamayis, the bottom line is very nice. What is a chazakah? Okay, a chazakah is that it's an assumption, right? Do you know for a fact? You don't know for a fact. But the Torah says you can make assumption based on what we know to be normal, right? Normally, you don't bring in chametz into wherever place. Right, into the attic, let's say. Normally you don't bring a chametz to the attic. You don't even need to check there. What ended up happening if one time you had a guest over and he whipped out a rugula, right? So he pulled out a piece of Yerushalmi kugel from his pocket. Yeah? He brought home from a kiddush. Right? So what happens in that situation? No? Swear. I one time went to somebody's house. It was a certain event, whatever. Hechsher wasn't exactly the best hechsher. So brought my own food, and I had my own food to eat over there. And then, whatever, my stomach's hurting, I'm not so hungry now, whatever. I ate my own food in my room. Now, this person, let's say, he's not gonna do bedika over there. He doesn't know that I had a three course meal in the attic. What's gonna happen? Doesn't do bedika.
The Mishnah says we're not worried about weasels coming into your house with
them. So mitzad chazaka, the assumption is. The assumption is there's no chametz. Very good. But it's not totally. How does it help?
It works.
Lamaisa, there's chametz there.
That's what it works.
What does that mean it works? Explain to me what that means.
I asked the question.
Explain to me.
It just works.
If those scared, you might
come to eat it. So you're saying you don't know, you're saying.
If those scared, you might come to
eat it. It's not a good answer. If you don't know why it's an answer, it's not an answer. What are you saying?
That you normally have.
Okay.
That's the chazak.
Okay. And the chazak is that if there's no chametz, the assumption is that there's no chametz there, so you don't have to check. So I didn't check. Good, so I didn't check. But now it ends up that I was chaval I didn't check because there was chametz there.
You didn't have a chiyuv to check
there. I didn't have a chiyuv to check there. And therefore what?
The chazakah of the action.
Well, might have chametz there.
So it was kind of like what I was saying about like doing the action before. The action itself is the chazakah.
The
taking your time.
It putters Mary's that chametz.
What's the whole reason you're doing the person?
Kenny, everybody at once. What? Who wants to go first? What?
For example, there was a mikvah.
Yeah.
Let's say you went into a mikvah. This is an example, Mary. And it was assumed the last time that it was 40 sa.
Okay.
So you went into it, and then after they found out that it was 35 sa.
Okay.
So we base that same thing here. We, I don't know. There's a chazaka that it's 40 sa, so we trust that.
And a chanami. That's 100% correct. That we trust that, and the person is tahar. You're right.
Right.
That's true. We trust that. However, here it's different. Here it's worse. Why is it worse? Because let's say you go into the mikvah. Do you have to check the mikvah before you go in? You don't have to check the mikvah, right? Let's say you go into the mikvah, tovel in the mikvah, and then you go into the Beis HaMikdash, very nice. But guess what? It ends up being discovered that the mikvah was already chaser, it was already less than 40 sah, before you went into the mikvah. That it was discovered before you went in. It was less than 40. Okay? You didn't check before because you relied on the chazakah. But then they discovered that it was less than 40 before you went in. And then you went into the Beis HaMikdash. So then you ate Truma. Did you get an Avera? Now you chas v'shalom. Does the person get an Avera?
No.
Was the halacha, does he get an Avera?
They discovered it before?
They discovered after he was Tovel. After he ate Kachin. But then they discovered and they know with absolute certainty that it was chaser before you toveled.
Oh, no, it's still fine.
The halacha is he does get an Avera. Yes, of course he gets an Avera. What's the Shaila? Of course he gets an Avera. He went into the mikvah that was not a kosher mikvah.
There was a chazaka
There was a chazaka which allowed you to... I'm going to explain what Rabbi Rosenblum was saying over here. Oh. Okay, let me explain to you.
I missed it.
Let me be masbir. Rabbi Rosenblum is quoting a sugya of chazakas, which is extremely fundamental in Kol Tarkula. But let's speak it out. There's two scenarios. If you were here for Ksubis, so then you'll enjoy this. If not, so try to follow through, and then Be'ez Hashem will be able to have clarity. Okay? A guy goes to a mikvah. Does he have to check the mikvah if it's 40 sub before he goes into the mikvah?
No.
What? Never? It never needs to be checked ever?
No, first time.
The first time it needs to be checked. Why? Because then it's establishing the chazaka. The chazaka is established as being a 40 sa mikvah. Now that you establish the chazaka, do you need to check every single time before a person dips?
Yeah.
What's the halacha? No.
Every time water comes out. Every time that there's, if it's exactly 40 sa.
One second. Slow down.
I was thinking.
Okay. If it's exactly 40 sa, you're getting it to raise. Slow down. Let's keep things simple for a second. Okay. We're not learning subas. Lamaisa or Daf Test. We'll talk about it. Okay? Look, do you need to check every time before you go to the mikvah once you establish the chazaka? What's the halacha? No, you don't. Right? I'm not talking about exact. Whatever. Okay? Now, let's say somebody's tovel in the mikvah and he relied on the chazaka. Okay? And then he goes into the Beis HaMikdash. And they found out afterwards, now they measure the mikvah a week after he already was tovel and went to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? A week after, they measure the mikvah now, and they see now it's 35 sa. What's the halacha?
Good to go.
So there we could talk about relying on the original chazaka. The chazaka works to say that he has no avera. It's a discussion. Do we say that you could rely? Do we say that you can't? Type liberty has different things. But that's the case that Rabbi Rosenblum is talking about when he said that we rely on the chazaka. That case.
What's this?
I'm bringing up a new case, and I want you to tell me what you think is the halacha in this case. Okay? Not that I measure now, a week after the tevila, and I see now it's chaser. I'm talking about a situation where it's been discovered that even before I was tovel, it's been discovered that even then, before I was tovel, it was already only 39 sa. It was already less than 40. At that situation, what's the halacha? Was I over in Aveira, Bishogeg, Bonus, whatever it is, or do you say you rely on the chazakas?
I heard Rabbi say before you are over.
Right, because why? And I, whatever the chazaka, Teretz is, because chazaka is an assumption of the status quo. The status quo remains. We have an assumption. We're making an assumption.
He didn't know.
But here, one second, forget about it. I didn't know. You're right, I didn't know, and that's why I didn't have to check. But now it's been discovered a reality. What's the reality? That it was less than 40. It's been discovered. So do I need to rely on assumptions anymore? No, because I have facts.
Other cases also discovered that it was less than 40.
But it was only discovered later. We don't know what it was when I was tovel. We only know that it was less a week after I was tovel.
Oh.
So we can assume that at the time that I was tovel, we'll make an assumption that it's still kosher. But over here, we don't need assumptions anymore. We know with certainty that it is already chaser before I was tova. In that case, did I get a nevei? Did the chas shol mi? Did a person get a nevei for going into the Beis Hamikdash? In that situation, I'm not talking about bemezid. Of course, it wasn't bemezid. But is there a problem? Is there something wrong here? The teretz is, yes. Excuse me. Aye, he was so mech on the chazaka that it's kosher. You didn't have to check it. Doesn't make a difference. We see that the reality was against the chazaka. It shows the chazaka was a mistake. And memela, what's the halacha? There's an aveira. The kasha here is the same thing in the rod. The guy found chametz. Beautiful, chazakas, I love chazakas. It's a gevaldik, a sugya. It's one of the fundamentals of the Torah. The halacha is even soklin al chazakas. Know what that means? It means we'll kill somebody based on a chazaka. I'm going to hear a question in a second. We'll kill somebody based on a chazaka. But over here, we now see that there was a mistake. When he sees a mistake, so then assumptions are thrown out. And we work with the new reality. The new reality is that I had chametz in my possession. You're trying to say chazaka is no chametz. Beautiful, very nice. I love it. It's kabbalah gatayra. But there's a new reality. What's the new reality? That I do have chametz in my possession. So why am I not over Bali Rabbi Matzah? This is the bomb kasha that is bothering the Ran in the Shitas Rashi. And he's giving an answer, somech on chazakas. And we are asking, Ran, what in the world are you talking about? How does this answer the question? It's not only my kasha. The Ar Gadol, who is one of the Mefarshim on the Mishnayos, he's one of the famous Mar Mekomos who asks this kasha also. He actually leaves off Tzarech Iyun on this kasha. Tzarech Iyun, it's a bomb. It's a bomb. Question.
I want to suggest an answer.
Okay, before you suggest an answer, I want to bring our attention to one more line in the Ran. Okay, one more line in the Ran, and then we'll end with that. Okay? The Ran clearly holds that this is good, it is a good answer. Okay? But he says what he says, and we don't understand it. But let's just read another line. Now it's Mukach and Rashi, by the way, on Davava Mabez. It's Mukach and Rashi. The Rashi holds that you're not over. Because Rashi says when you found the Gluski Ofer, that what's the problem? Why do you need the Bittel? Not because of Bali Rabbi Yamate, Lemafreya. Not because of that. But rather because why? Because of the interim moments of hesitation. That's where there's a Bali. So it's Mukach and Rashi that what the Ran is saying is correct. But that doesn't help us, you know, with the Havana. We're still stuck with our Havana. Let's just bring our attention to the end of the Ran. Did anybody see the paragraph in Nimtza Sata Omer? Lefi Da'azeh?
Yes.
That paragraph? Okay, good. So the Ran says, towards the end of that paragraph, Ran says, it has to be that what I'm saying is true. That you don't get an Aveira even if you found Chametz. It has to be that way. Go to the bottom of that paragraph. He says, it has to be that you don't get an Aveira. Shem Cain, because if you would get an Aveira, listen to what he says, if you would get an Aveira, then Afilu Badak, even if you did do a Bedika, Hu Mechuyev Min HaTorah Levatel, you would still be required to do Bittel, even if you did a Bedika. Why? Because maybe, Safek Chametz Sheinu Matzui. Maybe there's Chametz that I didn't find. Maybe there's Chametz that's going to turn up somewhere that I have in my possession. What?
There's only one Makar.
And therefore, I would have to do Bittel to avoid that. If it's true that I get an Aveira, then it must be that Bidika would not be good enough. Doraisa. Even Doraisa, I would need to do Bittel. The fact that Rashi tells me that Midoraisa, Bidika is good enough, shows me that Rashi is correct, at least in his own world. It shows me that it must be true that at the end of the day, Bedika is good enough. On a Doraisa level, I don't get an Aveira. He's not explaining to us why that is. But he's proving to us in Lumdus that it has to be true. Beis Shem Lineta, next time we'll try to get into the Havana, why it should be. Yeah.
I feel.
But you wanted to say an answer also, right?
Yeah.
This is just like a quick statement. Sorry. When you do bedikah itself, why would you have to do betel? Because the act of doing bedikah is you're being mevatel your chametz.
The act of doing bedikah is what?
Is mevatel in your chametz itself.
Okay. The bedikah itself is being mevatel?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're not getting rid of something.
Nice. I like it.
So
have you enjoyed?
So why would one have to?
Excellent aura. I was going to mention the case. There's a case that the Chemda Shlomo, Shas Tshuvas Chemda Shlomo, and the Nesivis that they discussed back and forth. If a guy got involved in selling chametz, and then it turned out that the guy didn't follow through and do his end of the sale properly.
Yeah.
Is he over Balira Lamafreya? Was he over Balira Balimate? Is it chametz shavu of a Pesach, which is now Aser Ba'achila? That's a shaila that they discussed in Chemda Shlomo Simin Beis. Shas Tshuvas Chemda Shlomo Simin Beis. And it's mamish negiah to our situation, and it's negiah to your shaila too. Right?
Yeah,
he's doing. So Zok the Nesivis, Zok the Yaakov Milisa, the Makar Chaim. What is he? And it's in Simin Beis, he writes this. He says that since the guy was totally involved in getting rid of his chametz, the guy didn't do his part, but the yid did everything that he wanted in order to get rid of his chametz. He's not over Bal Yira Bal Yimata.
Oh wow! So,
and the kash is the same kasha in the Nesivis. It's the same kash in the Nesivis. I don't understand. Bottom line is the guy owned the chametz. The yid owns the chametz over Pesach. How could you tell me it's not Bal Yira Bal Yimata? It's a plea. It's extremely difficult to understand. We're gonna have to explain it. Bez Hashem Lineder, and that's what we're gonna do next time.
Same answer?
What?
Use that answer?
Whatever, I didn't answer. Whatever I'm going to answer.
Could we use that answer that he said since you did everything again?
But how is that an answer? Bedika is the same thing. I did everything. But how does that answer? Bottom line is, I own chametz over Pesach. I'm over Bali Rabbi Yamatze.
It says, it's, even though the guy didn't do his boat, but he did all his parts. So.
But I own chametz. I ended up owning chametz. It was a mess up. It was a mistake. It messed up.
So I want to suggest.
Yeah.
That what's the whole reason buyer by matzah and the whole thing of bedikah and bittul?
Yeah,
it's the fact they don't come to eat it.
Okay,
so
according to one side, yeah.
Okay, so according to that side,
right,
it's all about like so you wouldn't come to eat it. If you never knew it exists in your house, you wouldn't have came to eat it. So once you found it, okay, now you have that problem by matzah. Until then,
very nice. Sounds a little bit mechudish, because even if the motivation was that you shouldn't come to eat it. But Lamaisa, the din is there. So even if I don't necessarily have that same motivation, but bottom line is, the halacha is in place. So, Uchara should be over the Avera. I hear the direction that you're saying, but it's a little bit mechudish. You understand why?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Say it.
The mixer did everything you can at the